I'd invite you then to turn with me in looking at this last sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, as it's called. And it is a little bit difficult, I think, to really understand in full. And so I hate to say, but I'm going to turn a little bit to grammar. I don't know how many of you like grammar or remember when you were in elementary school and you know you were being taught grammar in one way or another. I'm not sure how much grammar is being taught today, but it's, I think, to today's generation, a little bit of a cheat on them not to be able to understand grammar, as at least, and maybe none of us really understood it entirely. It's a rather, how would you say, a difficult subject, but one in which has a lot of implications to understanding. And what's one of our greatest problems in today's era is misinformation. I believe it is, at least. We have so much misinformation coming from all sides. And I know, I'm not sure how many of you have family who are like this, but I've got family who they only are getting the news from their phone and one little silo or another, as they call it, you know, one social media that's looking in one direction or another in another direction, and that's it. We don't seem to have a common bond anymore of where our information comes from. And so this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is one of those things, really, in the church that unites our information and informing us. And this last petition, lead us not into temptation, is the prayer, but deliver us from evil, is perhaps one of those that unites us in some ways most and also can be most easily misunderstood. And it's found in its fullest form in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. It's also in Luke chapter 11, verse 4, second or third part, depending on how you number them. It's very short. Matthew doesn't continue with deliver us from evil. It just says in Matthew, lead us not into temptation. That's it. Actually, he says, lead us not into either, you could translate it as the trials or from the evil. And in fact, you could go so far as to say the evil one, Satan. And Satan's wiles. So in order to really understand what is meant in Matthew in particular by this sixth and last petition of the Lord's Prayer, we're going to have to dive into Greek grammar a little bit. Now, I'm going to promise, or at least hope, that I don't lose you, and that I don't get, like, lost in the weeds with it. For us English speakers, this part of the prayer is perhaps the most problematic because it sounds like we're asking God not to be leading us into, you know, literally leading us into the temptations and various kinds of trials that we experience in life, all of us. And yet the Bible clearly says that God does not tempt or try us. But rather, our temptations are arising from within us or from the tempter, the great tempter himself, Satan, the evil one. Just like he came to Jesus in the wilderness with those temptations, only three of which are recorded. So he comes to us. James chapter 1, verses 13, 15 makes this perhaps the clearest. Listen to what James says. Let no one say when they're tempted, I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself, listen to this, tempts no one. But each person is tempted when they're lured and enticed by their own desires. Then desire, when it's been conceived, gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. So our temptations to sin, is saying, are our own and are acting upon the temptations. Our sin is our own. This is the whole foundation of the need that we all have for a Savior. That, as Paul says, God in Christ sent his only begotten Son so that we might be delivered from sin into which we have fallen due to our own succumbing to temptation. Something tracing, you know, it's no secret back to the very beginnings. The original sin of the garden. So then what does it mean? We've got to ask. When we pray in Jesus' prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The key word to understanding these two phrases is the verb, traditionally translated, lead us not. Lead us not. The word used is, I hate to get into this now. The actual word is simply esphero. But it's in this aorist tense, which most often is thought of as simply being a past tense with no just stated outright past tense. But it's in a subjunctive mood. Okay, now you might think, well, what in the world does that mean, preacher? The aorist tense, subjunctive mood. Well, let me try and just define that a bit. First of all, esphero means, in its simplest form, according to Walter Bauer's great dictionary of biblical words, it means bring something in or carry something in. Bring or carry in. So in a sense, we're praying that we're not brought into or carried into temptations. Now, remember though, that it's in the aorist tense, subjunctive mood. So what do I mean by that? The subjunctive mood in biblical Greek expresses, now this is a quote, expresses wishes, suggestions, demands, or desires in a sense which with usually two clauses, and that's what we've got here. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Right? Two clauses. So it suggests the wish for being delivered in one clause. And in the second clause, deliver us from evil, it's in the present tense. Okay, this is exactly then how the prayer is put. Lead us not, but deliver us. In fact, the word deliver us, if you guys who like grammar want to follow that along a little bit further, is in the imperative. In other words, it's almost a command. Deliver us, Lord, from evil. Now, you can't command God, can you? But you can certainly ask God to be delivered from evil. The verb also, just to follow it back, is in the aorist tense. You know, now remember, tenses are in past, future, present in English. Well, the interesting thing about Greek, biblical Greek in particular, is that there's a fourth. Aorist, it's called. And in aorist Greek, maybe the simplest meaning might be put like this. In the past tense, we would say in English, Tim threw the ball, right? Tim threw the ball. But that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't have anything to say about the consequences of Tim throwing the ball. It's just a statement that in the past, I threw the ball. The genius of biblical Greek is that in the aorist, it tells us something more. One person, one grammarist put it this way, that the aorist helps us seeing the action from the outside as a whole, rather than from simply the inside of the action. Tim threw the ball and it hit Robin, my wife, in the back of her head because she wasn't looking. You get that? The aorist fleshes out the whole meaning of a word, a verb. Someone said, it's like being in a helicopter looking at a parade. You know, you can see the whole parade rather than being in the parade itself, where all you know is what's going on in the parade right around you. So the aorist subjunctive of this word, lead us not, is helping us look at the whole parade of life, the temptations and trials that we face, and it's looking at it from the perspective not simply of how we're stuck in those, but how God can lead us through those. And so that's why we pray. We pray to our, remember how the prayer begins? Our Father. We pray to our Father. Oh, Father, we know that you know exactly what tempts and tries us now. You know it. And also what trials and temptations lie before us. You know those. So we ask you, Lord, our Father God. And you know, there's that great hymn that says, we're children of what? The Heavenly Father. We ask you, Heavenly Father, to carry us through these times of trial and temptation. And help us not to stumble and fall, but rather, we pray that you keep us strong when we're walking through them. That you keep us strong and help us not stumble and fall, but rather that you keep us and deliver us from those times of trial. Interestingly, Luke simply ends with this part of the prayer. Luke doesn't have the deliverance from evil or the evil one at all. He just prays, records Jesus' prayer as being, lead us not into temptation. Let us not, Lord, be brought into times of trial and temptation from the evil one. Our adversary is the same one Jesus faced in the wilderness, isn't he? The wilderness temptation, as Matthew tells about in chapter 4. Jesus faced those temptations and came through the victor because he relied solely upon God, didn't he? Every one of the temptations that's recorded, he answers with Scripture. You know, that's why Scripture is so powerful. It's why we need to abide in it. Because we're all going to face temptation. I'm walking through Jeremiah right now. And Jeremiah, man, he just records one temptation to idolatry after another. And the people, he warns them, you're going to face persecution, sword, famine. But if you return to me, I'll see you through. That's what this prayer is about. This last petition is about. If you turn to me, I'll see you through. I thought Kevin DeYoung's observation about the nature of these temptations was pretty helpful. I'll just close with that. He says, temptations basically boil down to enticements surrounding three things: pleasure, power, and pride. Those are the exact same three things that faced Jesus in the wilderness. All of these taken together and taken to extremes allow Satan to magnify them and damage, if not destroy, ourselves and those around us. Think about how many have been shipwrecked by the power of pleasure, pride, power in their lives, which have taken them over. I saw a sign, I've seen billboards now recently speaking about human slavery. And in particular, you know, human slavery today, they say, is greater than at any time in all of human history. And it's, you know what, the number one form of it is? It's women, girls in particular, and enslaved in sexual manner. Now that's power at the expense of someone else's, usually men's, pleasure, isn't it? And maybe even pride is involved in it as well. Our day is no different than the day of Jesus. The day of, in fact, very writing of the beginning of the Bible. So in this last petition, we're asking as children of the Heavenly Father that we not be abandoned to temptations to pleasure alone, or grasping pride, or the kind of power which manipulates and destroys, but rather that we are brought through these darts of the evil one as victoriously as our Savior was, so that we might meet Him face to face and know Him just as we are fully known. You know, as I refer to Paul's letter to the Corinthians there, I can't help but think that maybe Paul was expanding on this prayer when he wrote the 13th chapter. As if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, pride, have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardships, that I may boast, there's pride again. What does the Scripture say? But that pride cometh before the fall for us all. If I have all these but have not love, I'm nothing. For love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. You know, I'm sure you know, if not within your own heart of darkness, as Conrad said once, but with others whom you're praying for, hoping for, trusting, protecting, persevering with. You know that love never fails. Paul then concludes, when I was a child, I thought, I talked like a child, I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see but through a mirror darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I only know in part, but then I shall be fully known. And so these three remain: faith, hope, and love. the greatest of which is love. I think Paul knew this prayer that Jesus taught and had reflected deeply upon the words, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Father, we pray that the conquest of evil might not be known in our lives, that pride, power, prejudice might not be the victor, but rather as we rely upon you, we're delivered from the evil one. We pray it in the name of the one who overcame evil because he abided in you. So let us also abide in you. Amen.